Welcome to Tank Talk with Teddy, a podcast talking all things related to residential oil tanks. You have questions? Teddy has answers.
Hey, Teddy, this is Jenna Lawson.
Oh, hey, Jenna, how's it going?
Good. I'm here with my husband. I think he had a couple questions for you, if you have a minute.
Absolutely. How can I help, guys?
Okay. I'm looking over the, like, kind of the open-ended quote, because I understand, you know, with, like, going in and doing soil samples to get, like, a fixed price. I mean, it kind of is what it is, right? Like, if the soil is affected, it's going to need to come out. So don't necessarily, you know, feel the need to go in and do, like, a separate soil test. But I'm looking at, you know, kind of like the open-ended price quote that you guys sent over. And I think it totaled, like, $9,505. I was curious, like, some of this stuff, like, you know, you've got the excavator and the mobilization, demobilization charges, that sort of stuff. Like, how much of the items are really kind of, you know, open? Like, you know, is the excavator, you know, are we potentially going to need two of those? Like, you understand what I'm asking?
Yeah,
like,
no, yeah, exactly. Yeah, the really only variables on that whole contract are really three items. You have the waste classification sample. If we take out more than 30 tons of soil, we have to run an additional sample analysis to get rid of the material. And that's below, if you scroll down under the terms, there's an additional $600 charge for that. So that's
sure.
That's one variable. And then the other two is just the soil, depending on, you know, how much soil has to come out and how much soil has to go back in. So those two line items, $75 a ton and $25 a ton. And, you know, as long as we could finish this in one day, there won't be any other additional charges for labor or equipment. You know, and 90% of these jobs we finish in a day. I mean, and we stay. We don't like a lot of companies will just pull off at like 2 o'clock, 2:30, say, oh, we're here for 8 hours. We go home because they want to charge you another day for all the equipment.
Sure.
We'll work till it's dark, and you know what I mean. Like we get it done because we don't want to come back, and we don't want to have to charge you. So,
sure.
It really should just be only a basic remediation, and the only variable is the tonnage, which, you know, that could change the invoice a lot because it's basically $100 a ton to come out and go back in. So if we take out an extra 30 tons on top of the 20 we're quoting you, that's an extra $3,000. So if you get, you know, that could drive the price up pretty quickly.
Sure. And yeah, I get that. And that totally makes sense. I was looking at it and I'm like, you know, you've got a project manager, two project managers in here, like the office administration, that sort of stuff. Like, I didn't know if that kind of varied based on, you know, the amount of time that it takes or anything like that. But from what you're saying, it's really just the potential $600 on the waste classification, and then the $100, and I get, like, you know, the soil, and then to put back basically, you know, $100 a ton. What's a typical job is, I mean, it's kind of a moot point, right? It's whatever it is for this case. I mean, when you see something with the soil samples kind of as bad as ours came back as, what do you typically see, like, the amount that needs to be taken out? I mean, I guess it's all over the board, but do you have kind of like an average?
Yes. So here's the thing. So that level, the only thing that sample result tells us that we have confirmed that there's soil that exists out there that's above the cleanup standards. What it doesn't tell us, how deep that contamination goes. I mean, that could clean up fairly quickly within a foot or 2 feet, you know, which is, that's going to be able to, you know, that's what generates the amount of tonnage that comes out. So we don't know how deep it is and how far it traveled in each direction. That's what that other investigation would tell us. So, you know, on average, these things are anywhere between 8,500 to 16,000 typically. Anywhere, you know, that's from 10 tons of soil all the way upwards of 60 to 70 tons of soil that have to come out. That's a typical cleanup job. That's what we typically see, that, you know, probably 80% of the time.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, and I guess it depends on how deep it really goes, right? Because it's just right around the tank. It wouldn't have, like, seeped through the whole backyard or something like that, right?
Yeah, they don't really travel that far in clay, and Metuchen is all clay soil. So, you know, we see that we have to open these excavations usually, like, a couple feet in each direction and a couple feet down. You know, usually it starts around 6 feet because that's where the bottom of the tank was, and we dig down to 10 to 12 feet typically to get it clean. That's typical cleanup, you know, and then, you know, a couple feet in each direction. So that excavation will open a little bit. Now, the only other thing, I mean, Metuchen, you know, the possibilities for a groundwater investigation, that is, you know, also in the terms where it says if groundwater or bedrock is encountered. Again, that's going to be unknown until we actually do the dig. And we won't know until, you know, we're basically done cleaning up the soil. If we encounter groundwater or bedrock, there's going to be additional costs for that investigation. So just to kind of throw that out there as well, just, you know, some people get shocked by that, you know?
Sure. Yeah. And on your fixed price, I guess, proposal that was sent over, just to give us like a guideline for that template, it showed like $12,000, I think, $12,500 maybe was the amount for that. Like potentially for if you encounter wastewater.
Correct. And that's the fixed price. So if you go with the open-ended and just give you some scenarios, let's say we're excavating the soil, then all of a sudden that excavation starts filling up with groundwater because we're down to the groundwater table. At that point, if I'm able to get all the soil out, I'm confident that I got all the soil out, I would recommend a temporary well point. That price is $4,600. Okay. Now, if we have to do a bedrock well because I dug down all the way to rock and I can't dig anymore, the DEP will require I drill through that rock and get a groundwater sample. Something like that's about $9,800. The reason that you see that quote of $11,500 or $12,000 for the fixed price is because that includes, God forbid, we have to come back to do additional samples or we have to clean the groundwater up. That's all included in that $12,000. Again, it's very rare that happens, but that fixed price includes us coming back as many times as we have to get clean groundwater samples.
Yeah, versus if you do an open-ended sort of contract, then are we charged every time you have to come back to do additional samples? Is that how that works?
Yes, if the first round of samples comes back with contamination in it, then it's required by the DEP that I get two additional rounds of samples separated by 30 days apart, and they have to be consecutively clean. So there are certain things, depending on the level, that we'd have to do. I mean, this is very, like, down-the-road stuff, and majority of our projects don't encounter groundwater. So I just want to let you know that. It is not typical, but it does happen, so we have to put it in there, obviously. But, yeah, that's the worst-case scenario that, you know, the first round of samples comes back with contamination above the cleanup standards. Then we'll have to go out there and either – you know, basically remove the groundwater and try to clean it up that way, or sometimes we let it naturally clean itself up by just waiting. Just there's a lot of different scenarios, you know.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I'm just, you know, obviously it's a little scary when you don't know like what the total amount of the potential project is going to cost, right? So I think in our minds we just are trying to understand, you know, if you do an open-ended contract like this, like really what's the kind of the potential, you know, worst case scenario of cost. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I get it. And I get that question a lot. And that's why we came up with that program, because, you know, I've been doing this for almost 20 years. And that's always been the big question, you know, like, what is this going to cost? Like, and nobody in the industry was doing it for residential sites. We came up with a program a few years back where for $600, which is affordable, to come out there and do what's called a delineation. That's basically what we're doing, and figuring out how extensive it is and then providing that fixed number. So That is an option where you will know before we start the job exactly what you know the outcome will be. The only thing that we put in there, as you saw in that fixed price, is the groundwater is put as a line item because we didn't think it was fair to include groundwater, and then we go out there and don't find it. I don't want to charge you for groundwater if it's not encountered, and we won't know that until we do the actual dig itself.
Yeah, gotcha. So when you come out, I mean, regardless of whether it's open or closed, like the contract, I mean, you're essentially like drilling core samples to find out how deep you need to go and testing it, right? Or
Yeah, exactly. We basically chase the contamination plume. We start from very close to where the tank was, and we work our way in each direction to determine how far it travels in each direction and how deep it is. This way, we can just put in a calculator and figure out the tonnage. We come, you know, and that's not an exact science either. So, you know, we come up with a number, and then we stick to that. So if I tell you it's 13,500, whatever that number is, if I mess up during my investigation, all the liability and risk is on me. You guys are, you know, completely, you know, that's it. Your liability is 13,500 no matter what. So it takes all the risk out of your and unknowns pretty much off of your hands and puts it on us. That's the main difference.
Yeah, sure. I get that. I mean, yeah, you're estimating, you know, based on what the samples come back as. So I guess when you're, this is probably getting way too much into it. You said it's on your proposal on the scope. It says a state certified subsurface evaluator. Is that your all's employee, or is that like a
He's an independent contractor licensed by the state of New Jersey. He does all the testing and the reporting. So at the end of this project, you're going to need a report written. You know, typically they're anywhere from 100 to 250 pages long, depending on the project. And that report gets submitted to the DEP. The DEP will review it and give you what's called a no further action letter.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, I didn't know, like, and everybody's still working up there. You guys, I think you guys are on, like, similar to us, like, a stay in place. But
yes, yeah. See, we are considered essential because we, you know, we're dealing with a lot of clients that are in real estate transactions that have to get this done in order to close. So, you know. So 90% of our clients are in real estate transactions. So we've only really had like three clients that we can't do their job because either the town shut down or the client wanted to postpone it. Other than that, we're still in business up here.
Gotcha. Well, and you're not relying on like the town at all. The only, you know, governmental agency that you're essentially having to get something from is the DET when you send the letter in.
Exactly, and they're running at half staff right now, so the turnaround time for the NFA is a little bit slower, but they have not shut down completely, so they are still open.
Gotcha. And what, like, is there a way that we can take, I mean, do you work with people to take that, you know, the report that the subsurface evaluator takes and, or does, and if we can't get the NFA letter from the DET, like, is there a way that we can work with our lawyer to get the property still closed? Because we're supposed to, I think the transaction's supposed to close at the end of April. So it doesn't sound like from the proposal that it's really a possibility to get that NFA letter back before then.
I mean, if we did the rush service, so we have that in the contract, the $995 fee. I mean, we are letting our clients know that obviously, you know, we put in there 10 days before all this happened. We were able to get that NFA letter in 10 days. Now it's out of our hands with the state. So, I mean, we're able to turn all the lab reports around, the geologist report, all that stuff I could get quickly within like 7 days. And then, you know, we'll send it down to the DEP. And, you know, right now they're taking anywhere from, we're seeing 5 to sometimes 7 business days for that NFA. So, you know, it is taking a little bit longer than the 10 days, but typically it's like 30 days, 30 to 40 days, you know, under a good regular turnaround time.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. And you guys are not, based on the current, I think Jenna had talked with you before about like potentially paying with like out of when the transaction closed, that you guys are not, you know, able to do that at this point?
So, as soon as this all kind of went down the last 2 weeks here or so, whatever it's been, we've obviously, like everybody else, we were very skeptical about where everything was going. So, obviously, we didn't want to put our neck in the line for, you know, if the real estate transaction is going to fall through. But if you have attorneys, if I was able to speak to both attorneys on both sides of the deal to make sure that, you know, it's just a pretty solid deal and they're, you know, I'll try to work with you guys or maybe do something where it's like a small deposit and then rest that closing if we could get confirmation from both attorneys. But yeah, we're definitely a little hesitant now. I mean, before we were doing a lot of that. Now, you know, we slowed down for sure.
Sure. And I totally understand that. Like, I mean, Yeah, I think everybody that is giving anybody else credit at this point is a little skeptical. So is there an additional fee for that?
The only thing that if we do payment at closing, we do require that you go through that rush service, because what it does is it speeds up that 995, the report gives us the opportunity to get it back quickly and then get you guys hopefully to the closing table quicker. So that's the only fee that we do require if you're going to pay a closing.
Got it. Okay. Got it. That makes sense. I mean, we obviously need to do it based on our timeline sooner than later as well. If you don't mind, let us just talk about it for a minute, and then Jenna will reach back out to you if that's okay.
Yeah. Any questions you guys have in the meantime, don't hesitate to call. I'm in the office. Just call anytime with any questions.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of bombarded you with questions.
No, that's all right. I don't mind. I get them all day long, and that's what I'm here for. Try to walk you through it, because it's a lot of unknowns, and people typically don't usually go through this service more than one time, so it's not something that people have a lot of experience with. So I don't mind.
Sure. Yeah. It's kind of, and I mean, for most people, it is a considerable amount of money as well. So it's a lot of unknowns. So it's kind of a strange service. I didn't even know people had oil tanks. So if that tells you anything.
Are you guys from where? You live out of state? Where are you guys from?
We're in Nashville. So.
Oh, okay.
There are no oil tanks down here that I know of.
Yeah.
No. And even the ones that are in New York, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, the laws are nowhere near as stringent as they are in New Jersey. The DEP here is so crazy. Obviously it's good for my business, but not good for homeowners, this is definitely a huge thing in New Jersey. No house can be sold without the oil tank being dealt with. And typically no mortgage company will lend unless they get that no further action letter. That's why we've kind of fell within that essential, construction business that's able to stay afloat here. So,
Gotcha.
Okay. Well,
in the city of, in Metuchen, I mean, I know you guys came out and did the oil tank, where the house is, you probably don't remember off the top of your head, but the odds of kind of hitting groundwater in Metuchen based on your past experience, I mean, are they pretty high? It seemed like the area was kind of high. I don't remember there being ponds or lakes or anything like that kind of nearby.
No, yeah, I'm looking right now at my files from Metuchen. We do a lot of work in that city. I'm just going to scan through the projects we've done there recently. 64 John Street was the most recent one. No, there was no groundwater there. I mean, you guys should be fine with groundwater. Highland Park, which is not too far from you guys, I believe, right? Highland Park is somewhat close to my section.
Think so.
Yeah,
there's a lot. If you lived in that town, I would tell you almost with 100% certainty you're going to deal with groundwater bedrock. But Metuchen, you should be fine.
Okay.
Gotcha. Okay.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, no worries. Like I said, any questions, feel free to call or call or text. You can text this number as well.
Okay, great.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.